Brother Fawcett's going to come preach to us this morning. Pastor's up in Atala, Alabama. I appreciate him and his friendship, his family. And y'all help him out this morning again. Amen or oh me. Amen. And either smile or do some, have some kind of facial expression while he's preaching. Amen. But we appreciate him coming and bringing his family the last two last night and today. And y'all help him out as he preaches and pray for him.
Good to be here. Counted an honor and a privilege to be with you today. I want to do something I don't normally do, but if I believe it would help the message, I would like for you to help me sing about three verses of a song. It's just a short song, chorus type thing. We'll divide it from this side to that side. If we could sing on this side the first verse, and then we'll sing on this side the second verse, and then we'll sing together on the third. But between the second and the third, I would like to just pause a minute and give you the story behind the song, and I hope that it'll maybe stir your heart today. The title of the song is, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. So we'll sing the first verse here, the second verse, and then we'll sing it all together. All right, if y'all can help me out on this side. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The story behind that song, the tune of it, is called Assam, A-S-S-A-M. And that term comes from the country of India because that's where the song has been inspired from. And there were some missionaries that went there many, many years ago, back in the 1800s. And they were laboring there in that field, and it was a very hard field. There was headhunters and all kinds of things. But they finally won one family to Christ. And because of that family, the Christianity began to spread in that area. And the story goes, it was like it was contagious. People were getting saved. And it made the chief of one of the villages so angry because they were leaving their false gods and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he called the first converts, the first family, before everyone, and he said, you will either renounce Christ or you will be executed. And they said, the father immediately said, I have decided to follow Jesus. That kind of takes on a whole new round. We're going to sing the last verse of that song with that in mind. And you think about that. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. All right, let's take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter number 23. I'm always very nervous preaching, especially when I'm preaching somewhere I've never preached before. And so I pray that you'll forgive me of my nervousness, and maybe the Lord will just take all that away. But I want to preach to you today along those lines about making a decision to follow Christ. Now, I want to put this out. I know you know this, but I'm not an easy believism kind of guy. I guess they call that an Arminian, is that right? But I'm also not a Calvinist. Hallelujah for that. I realize it takes the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. It takes the drawing of the Father for anyone to be saved. But there's also the free will of man that God has given to each individual. And there's a part of this that you have to make a decision. Are you going to go with Him? I would love to preach out of the Old Testament where they went to go get Rebekah, the servant. Abraham had sent her. And the family asked, "Wilt thou go with this man?" Let me ask you, will you go with Christ today? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 32, and we'll read a few verses here. We'll try to be as brief as we can. Our church, since I went full-time at the end of January, they began accusing me of preaching longer than I used to. I used to work all the time, so I didn't have near the time to study. But instead of preaching 30, 35 minutes, I'm preaching 50 and 55 minutes now and all that kind of stuff. But Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 32, the Bible said, "There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, 'If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself.' And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" And we'll stop reading there. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word. And God, you know our hearts today. Lord, we've already prayed that God, you would come by our way this morning. That Holy Ghost, you would come by and speak to every heart that is in this building. And that God, your word would be prominent and preeminent this morning amongst us, and God, that you would meet with us today and God, if there be one here that is lost, and we know in a crowd this size that there'll probably be several that need to be saved, God, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. And God, for the ones that are you've been dealing with and you've been working on their hearts about making that decision to give their lives in full service to you, God, I pray that you would help them today. Lord, bless us now in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've read here, we will eventually get to the two men that decided on this day. But I want to think, first of all, about the man in the middle. I like this man in the middle, don't you? He is the most important man you will ever read about. Amen. He is the most interesting person that you'll ever hear about. Amen. And he's the most inspiring person you will ever sing about. Amen. This man in the middle is something else. Amen. He is wonderful. Amen. There's been more words written about this man than any other. There has been more words spoken about this man than any other. There's been more words sung about this man than any other. This man that we're talking about in the middle, he is what we would call the God-man. 100% God and 100% man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that S.M. Lockridge put it this way. He is the loftiest idea in literature. Amen. I'm talking about the Lord. Amen. The man in the middle. What a wonderful man he is. As we view the man in the middle, I believe we see he's an innocent man. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." I believe we see him as a substitutionary man. Can you imagine what Barabbas is thinking as he walks out of the jail? Jesus has taken his place. We see him as the forgiving man. That verse, what power those words have. The red writing, amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a man this man is. The man in the middle. No wonder, I never have looked up this song, but no wonder the song writer wrote years ago, "I love that man in the middle." Amen. What a man. Amen. He's the Lord. Amen. I like how Bruce describes him. You don't have to turn there. But in chapter number 1 in the book of Hebrews, we've been trying to study a little bit in Hebrews in Sunday school. This Sunday will be our 5th Sunday, and I hadn't got out of the introduction yet. I plan on doing verse by verse. It took me about 2 years to go through Romans. I don't know how long it's going to take to get through Hebrews, amen. There's so much good stuff in Hebrews. But as you look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1 and verse number 3, we see that the Bible, the writer calls him the who being the brightness of his glory. This is who is hanging on the cross in the middle. Amen. The brightness of his glory. Amen. Not only that, but he says he is the express image of his person. He goes on to say that he is upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins. I love that part. He did it all by himself, amen. He didn't need my help, amen. He don't need your help, neither. He did it by himself. He can take care of our sins. Amen. Thank God. Then it says he sat down at the right hand of the majesty. I like what verse 4 says. But being made so much better. If you run through the book of Hebrews, you'll find that word better over and over and over and over again. He's better than the angels. He's better. He's a better sacrifice, better testament, a better covenant. He's better. Amen. He's a better God. We're talking about the man that's in the middle. Amen. If you go forward to Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. In the book of Colossians, we'll read quickly in chapter number 1, verse 16. We see, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. What I see in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33, I see a man who the Bible says is also the creator. We've got a creator on a cross now. He is the creator of everything. And now we find him on a cross, on that middle cross. I like how John put it. We'll get to the message in just a moment. Short message. Boy, that message last night was good, wasn't it? About loving God with all your heart. John chapter number 1, you know these verses. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you skip down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. I believe we see him in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter number 2, we see him creating. And in these Gospels that we're looking at, we see him cross-bearing. And when we get over to the Revelation, we see him coming to rule and reign, brother. I'm talking about the man that's on the middle cross, amen. That's who we need to look to this morning, amen. The same Jesus that spoke the sun and the moon into existence, the stars. We find him here in Luke chapter number 23, hanging on a cross between two thieves. The same Jesus who spoke and the mountains took their place, and the rivers began to flow, we now see him taking our place across at Calvary. The same Jesus who formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, we now see him shedding his blood for the payment of our sins. Fascinated by the creation story. Especially when you get to man, it's like he puts a lot more into it. The Bible says he formed it. He formed it. Sounds like to me he put his hands on it. And most of the creation, he just spoke, and there it was. He made something out of nothing. But when he gets to man, he puts his hands. Forms him, makes him like he would have him to be. I'm asking this morning, will you follow this man? Will you follow this man? As we look back at Luke chapter 23, we not only see Jesus hanging on a cross. He's that middle man. But we also see two other men who the Bible calls thieves. I don't know about you, but I ain't got much for a thief. We went to Scotland many years ago, and we started the church there, and God blessed. He gave us a Salvation Army building, had a little house beside it. We were in there working, and for some unknown reason, I attracted all the roughest kids in all the neighborhood. What they saw across my forehead was sucker. I was a country boy. I didn't know. I lived in the country most of my life, but I had moved into the city, and all these city boys, they were taking advantage of the old country boy. Amen. Man, they broke it. They tried to sell us a hatchet one time. And I knew they'd stole that hatchet. I didn't want that stole hatchet. No, I don't want that hatchet. You know what they did with that hatchet? They chopped the lock off the back door and stole everything else that I had in that house. I should have bought the hatchet. Amen. For about $3, I could have saved myself about $500-$600. Amen. Never had much for a thief. But we find here, isn't it interesting how God hangs his son right between two of them? Man. Y'all been singing about that love? How God is love. It takes some love to love a thief. And God, in his providence and in his mercies and his grace, he gives these two thieves one more chance. One more time. Gives them one more chance. Now, I want to think about these two thieves for just a moment. I'm going to try to finish up here real quick. But I want to think about these two thieves, and if you can try to put yourself, maybe not in their shoes, but maybe watching this. And this is the last day for them to live. That's a sobering thought. You've had those calls, preachers, that so-and-so you love, and you know, and the call's been made, the doctors say they're not going to make it. It'll tear your heart out. These two men, this is their last day of living. They're not coming off of this cross alive, no matter what. They're never going to see another sunrise. Not one. They're never going to take another bite of food. They're never going to drink another drop of water. This is their last day, this earth. Even their last hour. They're not going to come down alive. Period. But yet, both of these men are faced with a decision. They have to decide, what am I going to do with this man that's hanging beside me? What am I going to do with him? God, in His grace and His mercy, has put him in between these two men. And they have to make a decision today. Not tomorrow. This decision has to be made today. It cannot be made next Sunday. They're not going to be here. They're going to be in a grave at best. There's never going to be another sermon or message preached to them. This is it. They are no more. There's never going to be a preacher come by their way again. I like what the preacher said one time. Every creature needs a preacher. That's true, isn't it? But for these men, there's never going to be another one. There's never going to be prayers prayed for them again. It's going to do any good. After you die, it doesn't matter what religion teaches. They can light all the candles. They can pray all their prayers. But after you're dead, that's done. It doesn't do any good. There is no purgatory. Amen. This is their last day. Today is the day they must decide. Their decision is eternal. This is an eternal decision. They're not going to get to do it again. Whatever they decide today, that's what it's going to be. First one in verse number 39, the Bible said, and one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He's speaking like the devil. If thou be. Isn't that what he said in Matthew 4? The devil said the same thing. If thou be the Son of God. This man is talking like the devil. He doesn't have to curse and use swear words. All you got to do is use that little word, if. If. Preached a message years ago on little words with big meaning. And that little word right there has got a big, big meaning. If thou be. He's making his decision. I'm sad to say that his decision was wrong. And if we could talk to this man, which we cannot today, this man would be in hell today. He is there today. And he is burning just like he was the very first day that he got there. And this is what, 2,000 years ago. And listen, 2,000 years from now, he's still going to be burning in a place called hell. And dear friend, he made the wrong decision this day. He decided to say, if thou be. If. No faith. He had no faith. All he wanted was out. His circumstances. All he wanted. But thank God for the second. I'm glad the story don't stop there. Amen. We see here in verse number 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. What is this man doing? He is repenting. Amen. He is turning from himself and from the world, and he's turning to Christ. You can see all of that in there. He doesn't know how to pray. He's a thief. He ain't going to synagogue every Sunday. Although I have met a few thieves in church. I have. I've seen treasurers steal the mission money. The church money. I've seen all that stuff. This man is a thief. But what is he doing here? He is turning. Aren't you glad God can save thieves? Amen. And all he prays, Lord, remember me when thou comest. I don't know if the average Baptist preacher would think, well, did he get it? Did he pray just right? Or listen, I think it goes back to that message that was preached last night. It comes down to the heart. You turn from your sins, your heart, you turn to Christ, you can be saved. What did the prodigal son's father do? He come running out there, and man, he done had his speech all prepared. Lord, Father, I've sinned in thy sight. And all the things that he had it all planned out. And I don't know if the father didn't seem like he even acknowledged him. Hey, sir, y'all come over here and get this robe and put on him. Get him some shoes. Get him a ring. Put it on his hand. This is my son. Wow, he saw the direction. He was coming. And the question is today, and this is the whole message, will you decide to follow Jesus today? We're not promised tomorrow. Say, preacher, I plan on living a long time. I hope you do. Let me tell you something about God. He will not always strive with you. And just because you may be living tomorrow, don't mean God will deal with you. That doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is going to come by your way again. Amen. Will you decide to follow Jesus? Let's all stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know your heart today. If you're here and not saved, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here and not saved, why don't you come this morning? Why don't you just step out? Step out of your seat. And come down to the altar and ask Christ to come into your heart. But preacher, I've been saved many years. Have you ever decided to give it all to him, lock, stock, and barrel? To give him your life? I'm going to warn you about something. You decide to follow Jesus, you're going to find a cross in your life. This is not a decision to make flippantly about living for God and serving God. If you decide to follow Him today, there's going to be a cross in your life. It's a good life. All things do work together for good to them that love God. She's going to sing. You need to come, won't you? Why don't you step out right now? Come on to Christ.